These are the third and fourth Arab nations to recognize Israel diplomatically. President Trump says there are more to come soon. Hurricane Sally is moving slowly toward the northern Gulf Coast. It's expected to stick around for hours, dropping a lot of rain. Fox's Casey Stiegel's in New Orleans.
We're already starting to see water causing some problems in areas. Over in St. Bernard Parish, a little east of New Orleans, up to 7 feet of storm surge in that spot forecasted. The worst of Sally's wrath will be coastal Mississippi and Alabama, where 10 to 20 inches of rain is expected, 30 inches in isolated spots.
America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call him today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Hurricane Sally will have a profound effect on our weather, but it's a very slow system indeed as it aims for landfall on the coast. Today, random scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. Breezy, high temperature held down to 84. Showers and thunderstorms become likely tonight, low 71. Tomorrow night and Thursday, flash flood watch. Windy, locally heavy rainfall. Rainfall amounts could be excessive. Threat of some tropical spin-up tornadoes as well. The rain continues Thursday night but starts to slack up a bit on Friday. Our weather app will keep you on top of the action with instant notifications for watches and warning. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather from the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Montgomery police say they've found the body of a missing Alabama State University student. Police say the body of 22-year-old Adam Daldell Jr. was found Monday afternoon in the 800 block of Hutchinson Street. They've now opened a death investigation in the case. The Montgomery County EMA will transition to a 24-hour standby mode as Hurricane Sally approaches the state. EMA Director Christina Thornton is warning people who live in low-lying areas of the flash flooding threat. And the Alabama Department of Public Health reports more than 126,000 confirmed coronavirus cases statewide. More than 8,000 of those cases have been confirmed in the last 2 weeks. Health officials say more than 2,200 people have died. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
Hello, this is Yasmin Holston with Beauty and Beyond. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for 10 years plus. If you would like to increase your business, use Blue Water Broadcasting radio stations. They get results.
Most radio listening is done away from home and in the car, closest to your business and point of sale. Blue Water Broadcasting can grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify it because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power introducing the new Hustler Dash. Starting at only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards. And because it's on sale now for only $22.99, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact and affordable zero-turn on the market today. And when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase, and for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower while yours is in our service department. With service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. If you've been around Montgomery as long as I have, you may recall calling Bernie for all your typewriter needs. Well, we've evolved past typewriters, even though our experienced techs can still fix them. Bernie's now a member of the Xerox Business Solution with offices throughout the Southeast. Bernie is more than just a local copier company you have trusted for over 55 years. We have become specialists in remote worker, learning transition technology, and digital marketing campaigns. Did you know that Xerox provides managed IT services? With over 30 years of nationwide experience delivering industry-leading IT services, we are poised to help your organization get the most value from your technology investments. Whether your focus is printing systems, local network support, or leveraging the power of the cloud, Xerox has the resources and know-how to get your organization on the cutting edge. Give us a call at 271-4750 or on my cell at 201-0199.
It's a season of change with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Schedule your $89 tune-up with Dixie. Offer ends November 10th. Visit calldixie.com today.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Hello. This is, in fact, not Dan Morris. It is April Marie Fogle, and we're going to stop lying to you soon. I was just discussing with Joey. We keep tricking you. It's like, this is Dan Morris. No, it's not. So if you are just tuning in, you have April Marie Fogle here, and I will be here the rest of the month hanging out with Joey.
Yes.
We are working on our technical difficulties. Just on the off chance, the storm makes some kind of heebie-jeebie move, and they cancel school tomorrow, I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to have a little wind and a little rain, in which case I will drive the tank down, also known as the Suburban, versus my little car. But I think I should be A-OK to be in studio with you.
Very good.
But we'll see. The other thing, and if you can't hear it on the other side of this, is I got a little baby cough. And it's not the COVID. It's my asthma acting up because I've got a little bit of allergies happening. So I do want to get rid of that little baby cough because it's just annoying. And I don't know if anybody listening has allergies and if you've been out during the COVID scare with a little baby cough. So I'm sitting there in my mask. Now, for those who haven't seen me, I am all of 5'3" tall. Okay, I'm a little person. 5 feet. I don't look very intimidating. So here I am in my little, always in a mask. Always sure. In a mask. In my little mask going,
right.
And people look at me like I'm Typhoid Mary.
Oh, sure.
I mean, this morning I stopped to get some pastries on my way here. And seriously, the looks you get, like, how dare you? How dare you cough?
I think the researchers for years to come will have plenty of material on crowd psychology, the effects of what we've done in the last few months. Because you can tell with yourself looking in the mirror, talking with others you might know well, so you can see changes. This has had an effect on everybody in one way or another.
It's the strangest. I have had allergies my whole life. And constantly with the cough, my most, like, memorable political story is, so I had this happen. Whenever flu and flu cold season comes around, so it's the same thing every single year. I get a cold. The cold turns into an upper respiratory infection. The upper respiratory infection sometimes turns into bronchitis, sometimes turns into pneumonia. And it's just like this awful cycle. And we've tried different medications. I'm waiting for our pharmacist friend to call me back. I tried different medications, but it always does. So I was working for Governor Jeb Bush. Now, you have to keep in mind two things. One is when I worked for Governor Jeb Bush, he was the education governor. He wasn't the immigration presidential candidate. I wouldn't have worked for that dude. But I worked for the education governor, and he was awesome. The stories I can tell you. Actually, I'll tell y'all some. I will do that. So I was Jeb Bush's travel scheduler. Mm-hmm. So there are two schedulers. If y'all are not familiar with the way all of these executive offices work, they work the same for members of Congress and executives from your president to your heads of agencies. I was a scheduler at HUD. You have, a team of people that take all the many, many, many invites you get and sift through them, give some to other people who can go on your behalf. Otherwise, you've got a schedule and you've got whatever. So we had these daily meetings, and the governor pops out at one, and I just happened to have, it was right before the inauguration, right before Bush's reelection inauguration, and we're trying to figure out his D.C. calendar which balls he's going to go to, because I was the out-of-town scheduler. So we had an in-town scheduler who handled all of his meetings and phone calls and stuff he did around town. And then he had me, and if he was out of town, it was mine. I'd made the flights. I did all that stuff. So here I am, and I'm trying to get his DC schedule together, and I had bronchitis. And I was all I could do was have coughing fits. I could only imagine if they wouldn't have let me near the governor. Right. They wouldn't have let me in the Capitol at that point. So I'm just coughing my head off. And so the governor walks out. We're all in a meeting, and I cannot stop. But it's not like I'm just having a coughing fit. It's like I'm like, hey, but you
right.
know, like
it's a constant thing.
And he looks over at me with this like deadpan face, and he goes, "Are you gonna die of a cough?" And I was like. And, you know, the governor didn't traditionally, like, recognize me as, it wasn't that he was impolite, it was just I was
a peon.
Yeah. I was a, like, 24-year-old little kid. Right. And so he looks at me, he's like, "You're going to die of a cough." I'm like, "No, sir." What ended up happening, by the way, was the cough turned into pneumonia, and all of my friends, I had these plum, amazing tickets to the inauguration, to the Florida Ball, to these great events, and I didn't get to go. But you know what my consolation prize was? So I end up with pneumonia, couldn't travel. The president and the first lady signed a photo for me that said, "Sorry you missed out." And it's signed by W and Laura.
Well, that's
Bush.
Sweet. That must have been Jeb's doing.
It was, it was Laura's. We coordinated Jeb and his wife to do events with his brother and his wife.
Yeah.
And I talked to the scheduler and I said, I had all my tickets, I had all my plane reservations, I had everything, and I couldn't go because I worked myself. Had I rested, I probably would have been fine. But instead, I worked myself to death and nearly to death and ended up on a nebulizer and not able to fly. But they sent me this amazing picture. And I'll tell you, looking back now, the picture's probably more cool than having been one of, you know, thousands at a ball or standing out there freezing my butt off at an inaugural. I don't know if y'all know about inaugurations. They're actually not fun. I can tell you this. I have gotten many, many, many of friends' tickets to inaugurations. They're cold and miserable and crowded.
It's kind of like graduations.
They're really overrated, people. Now, what will be interesting saying this is what the next inauguration in January is going to look like, right? Because you can't have your typical inauguration. You can't have your typical balls. It's going to be a very different experience than what everybody else has had. And it'll be really sad for Trump, because Trump really loves those things. I went to a Trump ball. I skipped the inauguration itself, but I went to a Trump ball. I actually held an event for Trump for the inauguration the first time around, because I was with 60 Plus Association back then. Got way off on the cough. Do you see how that's like my little rabbit trail?
Yeah, went on a tangent there. I'm interested about the meat of this op-ed Newsweek.
Oh, look at you. Getting back to the point of things. Okay, so the point of here's what's interesting. So after the BLM stuff, again, the diplomatic part of me started saying, okay, here's where I am. I'll draw a line. I do not support anything the majority of the people doing bad things are doing in the name of the Black Lives Matter movement. I do not support the movement, the organization. I do believe Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. I also believe that, and I've used the term systemic racism. And this op-ed, which was censored by Newsweek, brings up some great points. Because when you're talking about systemic racism, as the op-ed points out, you're talking about an entire system that not just was, but is still colored by racism. And I think there's something to be said by the fact that we used to have an education system colored by racism, by segregation, by people moving white flight. We used to have a system. I do not know that we now, while there are problems where, again, integration doesn't seem to have happened. There's funding issues. There's a difference in the buildings themselves or the teachers' quality in these schools. I don't know that we can call it systemic racism. And so there's a part of the op-ed, and I'm going to post this. If you're following me on Facebook or Twitter, I'm going to post this on both my Facebook and my Twitter, which is at April Marie, APRYLMARIE. But it makes a case that why conservatives can still talk about racial issues without buying into the idea that all of the systems of our American country, from education to transportation to housing to healthcare, there are racial components to each of these that could still be addressed, but it doesn't mean that the entire system is corrupt.
Right.
Which is what the actual definition of systemic racism is. And so I really appreciate a point of view that makes me think and reconsider a position I have held, which, like I said, going into these conversations about racial issues, I said, okay, I can see where problems still exist. I can see why the need for public transit exists in certain areas of our communities, but not others. Why, you know, minorities use it more than say your people who live in the suburbs. Why, you know, why we have rural healthcare issues. I can see all of these issues, and I can see a racial component in it, but that doesn't mean it's systemic racism. And so, I think it's a very interesting take on the theory. Now, you know, Trump has said we will not teach this systemic racism theory in our federal agencies.
Critical race theory,
and which turns into the idea that everything in our nation is racist. Mm-hmm. And that's back to, I talked about a couple weeks ago, the education programs we have, where they're teaching our kids that our nation was founded on racism, and we are, the underlying theme of everything our country is doing is racist. And it's a very frustrating system. I wrote to my children's school, and I said, I do not want you teaching my children this. We are not a country of hate. And look no further than the history of 9/11 and how we rallied as a nation. If one of these storms that are coming up, either the one this week or the one the next week, were to be as bad as Katrina, we would rally again for the victims. We, by and large, are a country of people who love one another and are tolerant of our differences. But you don't see that in the media. You don't see that in the people who make a living or get paid to be divisive. You don't see that in the what the leftists want to teach, because they have this idea that if they keep us separate, if they pit us against one another, they will win. It's a very frustrating and, I think, self-defeating situation we have. We've got Billy on the line. Billy, what is your thoughts on this discussion of either systemic racism or the intolerance of the media for voices of the conservative nature?
Well, I can tell you right now, I've grown up here in the South. My grandparents were sharecroppers. My father was raised a sharecropper. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when I get sick and tired when I see people talk about us being racist. Let's go back in the past 50 years in America, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or 60 years. All right? We all know what Dr. King did. He got out and raised awareness to what issues needed to be looked at in America. All right? Well, let's look at what has taken place since then. All right? Look at all the federal programs that have been enacted. Okay? Let's look at affirmative action. If a person of any gender or color is being picked over for a job, all that was taken care of. Let's look at your local banking system. There are people of certain ethnic backgrounds, certain races, that get lower interest rates now on homes than a white person would today. That's not being brought up, okay? So if we're going to bring up racism, let's bring it all up across the board. It's just not black people being targeted, okay?
Well, and one of the...
There are a lot of...
Yeah. One of the things and it's one of those points that really aggravates some of my friends. I say, you talk about the Dreamers, right? Being the first generation Hispanics brought in generally through Mexico who were brought in illegally, should they get citizenship? And one of the big first arguments that a liberal will make is that the child is not responsible for the actions of their parents. And that the mentality of, you know, I will break the law, I'll do whatever I need to be here, isn't necessarily ingrained in them. But then the idea that all whites still harbor some vision of racism based on slave owners, that concept is foreign. So they can't marry the two. Hispanics one generation away are not to blame for their parents, but whites many generations away are still responsible for the actions of the slave owners.
Well, and see, you just brought up an important point, okay? Are you aware that one of the meanest slave owners in the South, a person who owned probably a couple hundred slaves, wasn't actually white, that he was in fact black? Are you aware of that?
I was not aware of that. I was aware that a lot of blacks sold blacks into slavery.
There were a lot of black slave owners in the South back in the day. But see, you're not being taught that in your history books. So before anybody gets up and talk about white people being slave owners and we got these big plantations and we're going to crack the whip, maybe they need to go back and read the true history of the South. Yeah, there were white slave owners in the South. But you know what? There were a lot of white slaves in this country, too. Okay? And if we're going to keep on talking about this, when was the last time your kids were out on a federal holiday for, let's say, Jewish American Month? When was that last celebrated?
Yeah. I see what you're saying, where you're going with this. Versus MLK Day?
How many Jewish people died from the years of 1938 to 1944? Are you aware of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many of them were skinned and their skin was put on lampshades? How many cities, as a matter of fact, where generations were gone, never to be found again because of their religious practice, okay? So if we're going to, and most, the majority of people in America have gotten past racism, okay? The only people bringing up racism is the black population of this country. Why? Because that's the only crutch they got left to stand on. They've been given everything, okay? If African American single mom wants to go to college right now, she can go to college. She's got free health care. She's got free daycare. Do you have free daycare if you want to go to school for your kids?
I haven't looked into it, but I'm sure it would not be as easy. Oh, we've got a break. Joey's messaging.
We got to take a break, Billy.
Billy, hold tight. Or Billy, we're going to move on to the next topic when we get here. Another person holding. But thank you for calling. I think this is one of those conversations where we need to talk about it intelligently. We need to talk about it with a historical perspective. And we need to talk about it with some tolerance instead of assuming everybody on the other side is our enemy.
Right.
All right. You've got April Marie Fogle here filling in for Dan Morris. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's that time of year again, where an afternoon thunderstorm can pop out of nowhere, bringing damaging winds and power outages. At Spire, we know life doesn't stop just because the power did. Thankfully, you can depend on natural gas water heaters and stoves no matter how long the power is out. And right now, get up to a $600 rebate when you switch from an electric water heater at spireenergy.com/rebates. Now that's fuel for good.
Mortgage Corporation of the South. That is the name that you need to remember. Why? Because John Williams solves problems. You may have great credit or not so great credit. John Williams helps you secure a mortgage that fits your needs. Mortgage Corporation of the South specializes in helping those whose credit is not so good. Because, as he has said on my show many, many times, people have things happen in their lives. It's not your fault. And he looks at solutions, not at past problems. I have personally sent several friends to John Williams because they have not been able to get their home refinanced due to credit rating. He is helping them repair their credit and get back on track. But if you have good credit, Mortgage Corporation of the South is your place to go. The level of service is outstanding. You need to call John at 567-9000, 567-9000. Give John Williams a call at Mortgage Corporation of the South.
NMLS number 232876, Equal Housing Lender.
This is your roving reporter. Today I'm speaking with the Loch Ness Monster.
Hello!
Now, you live out here in the Loch.
Well, it's really a lake.
But they call it a Loch.
Yeah, lake, Loch, whatever floats your boat.
And being an aquatic creature, you probably don't have many places to keep your money.
Well, I used to keep it in the lake.
Loch.
Yeah, whatever. But it got kind of soggy, so I decided to make a change.
Where do you keep your money now?
My friend David Ernest looks after my money for me.
Really?
Yeah, really. I just call him at 279-7431, and he takes care of the rest. I never have to leave the lake.
Loch.
Whatever.
So your advice to everyone and creatures like yourself?
Call David Ernest at 279-7431, and he will take care of your money for you. He will lock it in.
Don't you mean lake it in?
Well, now, that's just stupid.
Call David Ernest, 279-7431. Mind if I ask you a question?
Oh, no, go ahead, shoot.
Do you know Bigfoot?
I think we're friends on Facebook.
What are you talking about? Gold at over $2,000? Are you nuts? Bring your stuff to Marguerite's. We're going to trade you out. We're going to give you a check. We're going to give you cash. We're going to give you diamonds. We're going to make you something beautiful out of your stuff. You got to do it. This is an opportunity. A lifetime is the right phrase, but let's do it. Bring it to Marguerite's. We're in a Peppertree shop. We're on Vaughan Road, and we will trade you, give you a check, or make you something brand new. Thank you.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hello, everyone. You have April Marie Fogle here, filling in for Dan Morris. I hope you've enjoyed the show to date so far today. We've been talking about a topic that is tends to be more controversial in terms of the way people avoid it. Newsweek being the latest publication to decide that the conservative perspective wasn't necessarily the best one to have in their publication. It's frustrating to me. It's frustrating because here's what we know. We recognize and know that what's truly happening is that they're afraid of the mob. And if Newsweek can cower after 2 hours, then what happens next? Then are all publications going to be this way? Are all publications going to be scared to publish or voice or hear from conservatives? Do you think that's what comes next, Joey?
There's going to be that sort of backlash, I think. It just the whole thing, especially say you gave the example of Tom Cotton. And the idea of Tom Cotton writing an op-ed for the New York Times, pretty standard thing. I'm not getting a weird feedback. Let's go back to the other mic. This is not great. We were testing out the remote system there again, folks. For instance, Tom Cotton writes this thing about the Insurrection Act. I slightly even disagreed with Senator Cotton. I thought it was a little too much. It wasn't, in my mind, at a level yet of an organized insurrection. What you're seeing is more rioting. But he laid out a pretty good argument that in this nation's history, presidents have used the Insurrection Act to put down mayhem. And in fact, Ulysses S. Grant, I think this was one of Cotton's examples, put down the KKK after the Civil War in many instances. And so this is the nature of that. I'm bringing all this up because it's a pretty straightforward argument based in history. You can take it or leave it. You can disagree or agree. But it led to this editor-in-chief of the New York Times being fired from the op-ed section or reassigned, I believe.
Well, and then not just that, but the people who were like, I'm ashamed to work here, they shouldn't have run, or the
right.
I feel unsafe. The I feel unsafe people are the people that just made me want to shake them.
Right.
Literally.
And to that point,
I feel unsafe because you have a differing opinion.
To that point, what did conservatives say for years that I think ended up being incorrect? And I was in this camp. Said, oh, these college kids, once they get out into the real world, they won't have their safe space anymore. Well, unfortunately, those college kids have now graduated.
See, I disagreed with that from go. Always thought. I saw it. I said, if you coddle them in college, and so I go both ways with this argument. One is that when you're in college, it should be the place where you learn, where you make mistakes. So I see these college kids getting like thrown out of college for saying something completely insane, something racist, or saying something offensive to the LGBTQ community. They're getting thrown out now with zero tolerance. If not in college, where in life are you going to experience that differences of opinion and learn to communicate it thoughtfully?
Right.
And so when I saw the college campuses moving away from that, away from the thoughtful discussion, away from the passionate arguments, away from the preparing people, I thought, oh my gosh. Now, of course, I did not realize what it was going to turn into, these workplaces full of people. Because what I thought was my generation, the generations before me, I'm 39, so everybody from the age of, say 35 to, 105, we were going to welcome these people into our workplace and then say, welcome to the real world, friend.
Right.
But that's not what happened at the New York Times.
No,
that's
these college kids graduated.
No!
And they took over the institution.
And they took over. And you know what it is? It's this fear people have of being called racist. Mm-hmm. There is a fear. And the author of White Fragility talks about it frequently. She talks about how nobody wants to be called a racist. And now it's almost like the leper, right? You are racist. You associate with a racist. You might have thought something racist. Right. You might have had a Halloween costume that was racist. Like, it's this weird...
It's a taboo nobody ever wants to break. It's a sin nobody ever wants to be accused of.
It's incredibly frustrating. Well, but we have to... And again, it comes back to, what are we going to want? What do we want our country to become? Do we want it to become a nation where you can't voice your opinion? You can't write something that's then printed in a mainstream publication out of fear from the editor that they themselves are going to be canceled for your opinion? Right. We shouldn't allow this.
Well, and real quick, we didn't have time with Billy made a point at the end. I would say that this is just anecdotal, my everyday experience. The average black folks in my life, folks maybe I work with, folks you get to know over the years through work and other ways, I'd never hear this stuff come up. Who's the most shrill? Maybe that's sexist language. Who's the most shrill, though, the most over the top in this language? It's upper middle class white women.
All the time.
Like Robin DiAngelo.
It makes me want to pound my head against the desk or a door or something. I watched Harry Potter recently, so I'm picturing Dobby right now banging his head against something. It is. It is white liberal women. And that's, you're seeing that a lot of times in some of these protests, that they're the ones also egging people on and causing trouble. And you're like, dude, you're about to go. They tracked down a couple of the people arrested. And these are like people who grew up in very privileged lives, private schools with multiple houses and parents who are very well to do. They aren't representative, and they're speaking for the oppressed black person. Right. And it's like, come on, get with it here.
No matter the city in America, if you're playing, say, protest bingo, there will be, it should almost be a free space in the center of the bingo card. There will be a college-educated white woman yelling at a black police officer. It's happened in almost every city in the country.
Yeah, in every single photo.
What is this?
That was after the RNC. That was some of the photos that went on, is that the black DC, DC Police Department has a lot of African Americans, and you have these white liberals screaming at the black police officers, who most of whom, I read in a story, grew up in DC and are now a part of the DC Police Department because they wanted to stay home. They wanted to live in DC. They wanted to see things get better. And so you have these white people screaming at them about them being the oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
The white people going home to their, very upper middle class lifestyle, if not wealthy lifestyle, screaming about being who the oppressors are. It's a very frustrating and very out of touch with reality situation. And again, as long as we don't call them on it, as long as we don't use our voices, they're going to continue. But and I said this when the monuments came down in Birmingham, which is where I live, and you all had it here in Montgomery. At the end of the day, the people who live in poverty, the people who are literally afraid of the gunshots in their subdivisions, in their apartment complex, those people aren't sitting up at night thinking about statues. Now, right. I understand that some people believe they needed to go, and they were just indicative of a time that needed to be not reflected or celebrated anymore. But at the end of the day, in the homes of the people with needs, with true needs, be it dealing with criminal reform or criminal justice reform or poverty or terrible education systems, not one of those individuals was going home, if they weren't directly involved in the movement itself, going home and going, you know, I had a hard day at work. I'm looking at my checkbook. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make ends meet this month. But really, it's that statue over there. That statue's getting to me. That statue is holding me down. I feel oppressed by that statue. No, nobody said that. Nobody thought that. It's very incredibly frustrating. All right, you've got April Marie Fogle here with Joey Clark. Stay tuned. We will be back on the flip side of this break.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. With PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify it because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey, folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power introducing the new Hustler Dash. Starting at only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards. And because it's on sale now for only $22.99, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact and affordable zero-turn on the market today. And when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase, and for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower while yours is in our service department. With service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
United for your comfort.
I'm here with Shane from United, number one in the River Region when it comes to your indoor comfort. United is striking the competition out this summer.
That's right. United has many financing options for just about anyone.
Strike one.
United has a Hall of Fame staff, from the dispatchers, Nate certified technicians, to the comfort specialists, and an all-star lineup of installers, all with over 300 years combined experience.
Strike two.
Free estimates, 100% satisfaction guarantee, 1-year warranty on all repairs, 10-year parts and labor on complete system changeouts, even yearly maintenance plans.
Strike three. The competition is out.
United is number one in the River Region for a reason.
Hit a home run and win when you call United today at 262-0247.
Or visit unitedheating.net and check us out on Facebook.
Alabama certification number 84560.
United for your comfort.
Dispose of your business waste in the bright red containers of Alabama Dumpster Service. They're there when you need them and quickly picked up through Alabama Dumpster's affordably priced waste removal. Call 334-288-1500 or visit alabamadumpster.com.
Kingback Ranch and Event Center is gearing up for our fall festival, and you're invited. October the 24th from 3 to 8 p.m. There will be fall treats, fun games, contests, and much more. Hook up to your camper or rent a cabin on our 125 acres of rolling hills and lakes and welcome in the fall. Admission is $7. Kids under 3 are free. The Kickback Ranch Fall Festival, October the 24th from 3 to 8 p.m. Go to kickbackranch.net for more information or call 286-4140.
Napa Know-How. At Napa, you can get a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $26.99. An incredible oil for an unbeatable price from the best car people around. Making this deal the best of the best of the best of the best of the best deals around. That's Mobil 1, only $26.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state, local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 9/30/20.
I'm Ralph Holly with Holly's Home Furnishings. I've been advertising with Blue Water for over 2 years and have seen tremendous results. As a family-owned business, it's great to do business with a family-owned business like Blue Water Broadcasting.
If you're a local business, 93% of your customers listen to radio every week. Reach customers where they are. Radio. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Riverside Chevrolet Wetumpka. If it's Chevy, it's Riverside. Best price, best selection. Check them out on the web at riversideusa.net.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Hurricane Sally will have a profound effect on our weather, but it's a very slow system indeed as it aims for landfall on the coast. Today, random scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. Breezy, high temperature held down to 84. Showers and thunderstorms become likely tonight, low 71. Tomorrow night and Thursday, flash flood watch. Windy, locally heavy rainfall. Rainfall amounts could be excessive. Threat of some tropical spin-up tornadoes as well. The rain continues Thursday night but starts to slack up a bit on Friday. Our weather app will keep you on top of the action with instant notifications for watches and warning. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather from the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with historic low rates. Schedule an appointment or apply online. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hello and good afternoon. You have April Marie Fogel here filling in for Dan Morris yet again and through the rest of the month. So if you are not following me on Facebook and Twitter and Parler, you can find me at April Marie. That's APRYLMARIE on the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Parler. So what we've been talking about today is, or actually for probably the last hour because it's just so frustrating to me, are two things. One is the fallout and attempts to silence conservative voices in, be it editorials or be it in workplaces and all of that stuff. And to me, again, it comes back to, and I laugh because I almost want to say this is my TED Talk, because it actually was a TED Talk theory I had back before TED Talk got really kind of off the charts with their what I can now consider liberal bias. Very hard to find a conservative opinion on TED Talks, although I do love their business stuff. I still watch it and I enjoy it. But my TED Talk today is how it used to be said in polite company, you didn't talk about money, politics, or religion. And my theory on that has always been, those are the things we should talk about. We should be talking about money, politics, and religion. And that's how we create change. That's how we realize that the things that unite us are more strong than the things that divide us. That's how we really, truly get to know our neighbors and get to know their hearts. Not just the Donald Trump sign in their yard or the Joe Biden sign in their yard or, you know, the bumper sticker on their car, but truly having conversations about these things. And so I'm frightened by the censorship of conservative voices in mainstream media. I'm frightened by the idea that that workplaces are taking seemingly innocent messages or conversations and making villains out of people. An example I saw recently on this was in were employers talking, and it was at Apple, actually. There was an Apple employee who was called out by another employee for, again, talking about Black Lives Matters and their response to Black Lives Matter. And it ended up with, it started with a woman who created a bot that if you you basically texted it, and it said, you know, what is your response to Black Lives Matters? And the person wrote back, all lives matter. And the bot sent you this like message that said that was an unacceptable response. And that is the gaslighting of our country, because the idea, and then she went on to call the man a racist and say the person who wrote that was a racist and wanted the Twitter mobs to go after him. But what I found frustrating was the idea that we couldn't have a conversation, that it was literally cut and dry. You said it was a two-moment exchange, right? Black Lives Matters. All lives matter. That's it. You are defined by that moment. You are defined by the idea that all lives matter. And I just think we need to do better. We need to be better as a country in the way in which we speak to one another and the way in which we're tolerant. I think there are a lot of people who say they support Black Lives Matter who, when you get down to it, they don't necessarily support the rioting and the looting and the arson. We're seeing a lot of arson now. I don't get the arson. Fire, not good for anyone. Fire, not good for any cause. At the end of the day, you probably shouldn't be playing with fire. I actually haven't had to tell my children this because we don't have fire in the house, but I feel like this is something you learn at an early age. Don't play with fire, people. Yet in the West, the protesters are starting to actually do that. I was laughing. There was a message yesterday, an exchange I saw, and they were talking about the number of people arrested for arson in the West. And they said, this guy was arrested for setting 6 fires. And someone chimed in and said, was his name climate change? Because the Democrats are really saying that climate change is responsible for all the fires. It's a very frustrating thing. Joey, what are your thoughts on this?
Generally speaking, there is this game that's going on. It's semantic overload, where you must say the correct words, and if you do not say the words and the incantations and the chants and gesticulate in the exact particular manner in order to expulcate your white guilt, you sinner, then people will come down and rain the hellfire upon you. And I'm using those terms, those over-the-top religious terms, mm-hmm. on purpose, folks, because it doesn't seem like the sort of branding and messaging that is meant to foster conversation and understanding. It seems to me what's happened is we've redefined what racism means to be any outcome.
Yeah.
Disparity. Well, any disparity in outcomes means the system itself is all racist. And so you could even have all these people who aren't racist at all, but because the system is racist and they benefit from the system, then they're complicit with
it. Well, and so I found the actual message. The girl says to me, or says to the world, not to me, she says to the world, this was sent to me by a senior product designer at Apple. Twitter, do your thing. Now, to be clear, when the left says something along the lines of Twitter, do your thing, what they mean, what she means, is Twitter, world, people, cancel this person, call their employer, harass them, write Apple and demand this person be fired. This isn't how you have a civil, intellectually honest conversation with someone. This is how you take your mob mentality and run over individuals, how you scare people into not speaking, how you intimidate individuals into, again, becoming the editor of Newsweek, being scared to run an op-ed. And here's the thing is, these are the topics we need to be discussing. All of these, you know, all of the, and again, it's not, the movement itself should be focused on outcomes. It should be an outcome-based movement. Any activism should be outcome-based. The Tea Party, we rallied to change Obamacare, if not get rid of it, right? We rally against tax increases. We rally against bigger government. BLM doesn't seem to be rallying for outcome-based solutions. And it's a very frustrating situation that seems like it's never going to end. We've got East on the line. How's it going, East?
Hey, it's going well. And forgive me, Joey, I didn't hear the disparity between the microphones. But look, You know, when somebody asks me if Black Lives Matter, it reminds me of some swarmy, greasy-headed lawyer that leans across the bench and looks at the witness and says, "Have you stopped beating your wife?"
Right.
Yep.
Yep, yep, yep.
That is, you still beat your wife. No, I don't beat my wife. No, you know.
You know what I say to that, East? I say, I reject your premise. People get really put on. I reject the premise. And I'm like, and I say that in terms of a lot of liberal arguments. If you believe this, if you say this, blue lives matter. If you're talking about blue lives, you're disparaging or don't support black lives. No, yeah. I reject your premise.
That's brilliant. Thank you. You just gave me some fuel for my fire. Yeah. That'll do it right there.
Well, and that's just it. They want you to buy into that. So, East, when did you stop beating your wife? If you ain't no
Hey, you know what? I remember back, and you may be a little too young to remember this, but I remember back in the 80s that every time that the Democrats wanted to do something, they called it the Environmental Bill for Children. You know, they always tag children.
For children, for everything. Everything is for the children. Yes.
And if you were against it, well, you hate children. You know, and again, have you stopped beating your wife? And I just grow tired of that. I don't think that that's honest intellectually.
It's definitely not honest intellectually.
And here's the bigger question. For those of us who truly do, as a matter of conviction, love people and love life from conception to the grave, I mean, you know, until the last breath, we love life. For someone to tell me that I can't want all lives to matter is abhorrent.
It's absolutely ridiculous is what it is.
Yep.
Thanks for calling, East.
Good job. Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll get to you, Dennis and Patty. Hold tight. We'll stay on the same topic.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Do you have a Class A CDL license and at least 6 months driving experience with a good record? Jimmy and Darius Transport specializes in hotshot. Their trailers are 3 to 5 car haulers and they have immediate openings for qualified drivers. Earn $1,500 per week, 50% of your health insurance paid, paid vacations that grow to 3 weeks after 3 years, quota bonuses, and much more. Jimmy and Darius Transport is also looking for dispatchers. Call Jimmy and Darius Transport at 241-6414.
That's 241-6414.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
Show with April Marie Fogle here. I am so glad to be back today. And if you missed the memo earlier, I will be back for every day for the rest of this month. It is not that Dan is ill and not able to come in. It is that the mama bear in me and Dan's loved ones here in the studio and the station want him to recover and focus on his recovery. And I hope y'all can support us in that. Again, keep him in your prayers as he focuses full-time on his recovery. We've got Dennis on the line. How's it going, Dennis?
Hey, April. How are you today?
I'm doing great today.
Great. Good. You know, I've been listening to a lot of this rhetoric about how BLM pushes things down people's throats and yada, 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 and we need to have a dialogue and all that. Well, you know, I believe that would be a right direction to carry this. My feelings on it would be the way the attempted dialogues have portrayed out in the Pacific Northwest, that they don't understand English very well. So, but there's something in the wings that people of all races and colors who are stand on the side of justice and the right will not allow this injustice of a racial regime such as Black Lives Matter to keep pushing stuff down their throat. And there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day of accountability. They're not going to get away from it. If they continue their trek, then that day of accountability will suddenly be upon them. And it will come from every race who stands on what is right, and not some leftist, fascist-backed regime, communist organization who insists on an agenda that is not inclusive of all people equally. And I will leave that with you, April. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dennis. You know, Dennis brings up a good point. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, what is the outcome? What is the goal? Okay? And for the Black Lives Matters organization, they are a very odd group with loose chapters that mean it means different things for in different places. The DC group wants to get rid of capitalism and the patriarchy. Joey smiled. Mm-hmm. Joey, down with the men, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Down with the men. It's so frustrating. The national organization, of course, wants to redefine what a family looks like. There are different views and visions. At the end of the day, and I have spoken to many minorities about this, at the end of the day, we have this, the large number of us have the same goal. We want better education systems. We want fewer people living in poverty. We want those who are in a mental health crisis, regardless of race, regardless of orientation in life and whatever, we want everybody to have access to health care and mental health care. We want public transportation where it is where it's going to work and be used and be fiscally responsible. There are a number of things we want that partisan games aside, partisan talking points aside, we know this is a problem and we know how to address it. And so it's frustrating to me when I hear, I look on the mainstream media and I turn on CNN and I'll listen to the people talking for a minute. And what I see and hear frequently is this us versus them. They hate us. They being whites, they being conservatives, they being anybody who disagrees with the movement, they hate us. No, what I hate is the looting and the arson and the crazy circular reasoning that has people justifying things that are just unjustifiable. What I want is I want everybody to have a civil conversation, an intellectually honest conversation about what has happened and what is happening and how we change it. Saying all white people are racist isn't helping that conversation. And it's also not true. Saying all black people are bad or violent isn't true. And I don't know very many white people anywhere who would argue with that. But this idea that it's got to be us versus them, black versus white, Republicans versus Democrats, all the time is exhausting. It's physically, emotionally, intellectually exhausting. And I think we have to do better. Which is why, as often as I can, for the next 3 weeks, you guys are going to hear me talk about real problems and actual solutions. I'm very interested in this prison contract debacle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you followed this prison
contract debacle? Not in detail. I see how big the numbers are, though.
Yeah. The numbers are big. And again, this is one of those few issues, kind of like Common Core was, right, where in the state of Alabama, it's uniting some Democrats and some ultra-fiscal conservative Republicans to come together and say, let's look at this. Let's look at the deal the state, quote, deal the state is getting. Let's look at the plan. Let's look at the ultimate end goals for this. We're talking about 30-year contracts that have to be renewed on a year-to-year basis. And here's the thing. The state is in a sticky situation, right? The feds are over our shoulders going, your prison systems are awful.
Right.
And I won't disagree with that. I've read the reports. I've seen the firsthand stories. They're awful.
Right.
Is this the best solution? Is this the only solution? Right now, it's the only solution we have on the table that's being implemented. But at the same time, hey, that was true of the toll road down in Mobile County. There might be another way. There might need to be another way. These are the kind of things we should talk about. These are the kind of things that address some of those, quote, systemic. I'm not sure I'm going to use that phrase anymore. I feel like I now need to be more cautious of the use of that phrase. But some of these...